Sermon 6, and the title today is Better Than Money. Now, I'm a child of the 70s or 60s, and I grew up in the 70s, so there are many songs about money, but I wasn't going to ask the band, the worship team to play any of them because I don't think they would fit, and I don't think they're really appropriate. However, what we will do today is, again, we will be looking at the book of Proverbs. And so as part of your preparation, have a look, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll be looking at chapter 2 mainly from the book of Proverbs. Now, one of the things that we have established so far in the sermons preceding, that the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And wisdom is basically skill for living well in the sight of God and man. I'll say that again. Wisdom is skill for living well in the sight of God and man. But I think if all of us are honest about it, the right thing to do in living well is not always obvious. It's all not always obvious because it is not easy these days. You know, most of us have families. We have bills to pay. We have children to feed. Those of you who are students, you've got exams. You've got stresses of accommodation. You've got many things. So it is not easy. And the value of our money, as all of us know, is slowly diminishing. And it's going anywhere but up. Going down from the majority of us. And sometimes circumstances will overwhelm. Circumstances will overwhelm us, and it's like the dark night of the soul comes upon us, and we feel utterly, utterly alone and despondent. But perhaps you're thinking to yourself, oh, come on, Randall, it's nothing like that, because things are wonderful. Life is so good. I live in a high-rise apartment. I've got greenery outside my window. I've got loads of money in my hand. So life is great. Is it? And it suddenly stuck. Can we move forwards one? Thank you. Let me put it to you that right now, whatever your circumstances, your decision for tomorrow, what you do tomorrow, will depend on how well you prepare your heart today. Right? The rightness of your decisions for tomorrow will depend on how well we prepare our hearts today. And Proverbs 2 opens the door. Proverbs 2 opens the door to each one of us to show why we need to pursue something that's much better than money or financial security. The good news of the kingdom of God, the good news of the gospel of the kingdom is relevant to us these days. For one of the reasons that Jesus was anointed by the Father, one of the reasons was to preach good news. Was to preach good news to the poor. All right? Jesus came to preach to the poor. To the downtrodden, to the blind, to the deaf, to those who are despondent. He came to identify with those who are not well off. That's the reason why he came. Sorry. I think we need to change this. Thanks, bro. The background for the setting of the scriptures that we need to remember is this, that it was a state of poverty. It was an age in a geographical region where life was a struggle for man with his environment. If you were a farmer, you were dependent upon the rain. You were dependent upon the seasons. If you were a fisherman, it was dependent on the weather also. You're dependent on where you went fishing. You either got a good catch or you didn't get a good catch. It was a time of political upheaval and uncertainty. And it was in this situation that God came. God broke through in time and space and came as a man. And he didn't come to a king's place. He didn't come and people were expecting him to. He didn't. He came into a place of poverty. He came to a stable. He came, and some people speculate that he wasn't even a stable. It was a little cave where they used to keep their animals. But whatever it was, for those of you who know animals, who keep animals, will know that by and large, they smell. He came into that place. The King of Glory, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, totally God, totally man, and he came for us. Thank you. His parents weren't wealthy. And you say, how do you know that? Because when they offered, they came to the temple to offer, they offered two doves. The doves were the poorest of the poor, the offering that was for the poor people. They could not afford more. So Jesus knows what it is like for us to be poor, for us to be suffering. You cannot raise a finger and point at him and say, you cannot identify with my situation. The heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of God who was so rich. This is the person who created the universe, who created the earth, who owns all things belong to him, became the Son of Man for us. And this man knows us through and through. But there was another man, and that man we will focus on today. That man was born out of wedlock. In other words, he was born illegitimately. He was conceived out of an incestuous relationship. He saw what that relationship and what his father did and the consequences that he had when he was growing up, how it threatened to ruin the kingdom of his father, to tear it all apart. But yes, he was born in a palace. And that man was Solomon. And one day God appeared to him and said, I will give you anything that your heart desires. And Solomon said, all I want is an understanding mind. Literally, it means a listening mind. How many of you have seen a mind that's got ears? Raj? Oh, no? Okay. A listening mind. In other words, you need to hear. You need to hear what God is saying. And the reason why he wanted a listening mind or an understanding mind or an understanding heart, as the translations put it, is that he wanted to discern between good and evil. Because as I said, he knew what he had seen, what was happening around him, what his father had done, what his mother had done. He had seen the turmoil that was going around in his family. And so he said, I need to understand the difference between good and evil. And he set out in the book of Proverbs the wisdom that he had gleaned. And the book of Proverbs is only a small portion of it, my friends. It's only a small, small portion. And what he said in the end, coming up in Proverbs 2, verse 1, is this: don't be foolish. Don't go treasuring money. Don't go treasuring financial security. Treasure or store up God's wisdom in your heart. Treasure or store up God's wisdom in your heart. In other words, what he was saying is, I want you to be real. Now, most of us, when we come to church especially, we look at one another and we go, good morning, Karis. How are you? And Karis goes like this, right? Because she's choking at this point in time. None of us ever say, actually, I'm feeling terrible today. All right, you're allowed to put your thumb down. Yeah. Sorry, you want to have a drink? You want some water? All right. Most of us never say how we are. You know that normal saying, how are you today? I'm fine. I'm just like the goldfish at home, going round and round in circles. I'm fine. But what he's saying is, be real. Solomon said, be real. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Don't go chasing earthly treasures. Don't go and chase your superannuation. Don't go and chase that well-paid job that you've got or hope to get or hope to get promoted to. Don't go and invest in that thing. Choose God's wisdom. One of the things he tells us is, God's wisdom. But more than that, we need to ask to invite Jesus into our hearts. Two things he talks about, and we've mentioned this before. The wisdom of Solomon needs to be treasured and stored into our hearts. But also we need to invite Jesus to come in, because Jesus is wisdom personified. Jesus Christ is in him are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so if we don't know Jesus Christ, you're not going to have that wisdom, because all you have is one component, the wisdom of a man, Solomon. Yes, a godly man, but you need the wisdom of Christ. You need Christ in you. Jesus himself said this, that every scribe or every disciple who has been trained in the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is old and what is new. In other words, both old new things as well as new things. You know, nowadays we have this tendency to go, I want something new. I want something new. I need a new shirt. I need a new dress. Well, I don't need a new dress. My wife might need a new dress. I need new shoes. I need something. Something new. I need a new job. There are wisdom in the old things too. You know, nowadays we have the top 20. Well, we used to have the top 20 or top 10 in my days. I don't know whether we still do nowadays. In secular pop music, I have no idea whether we do. But even in the Christian circle, if you look at it, you know, the top 10 worship songs, and they change, right? They change. Sometimes the old songs are also just as good. All right? Let's move. Let's keep moving, because if not, we'll be here for a longer time. In Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 4, he says the following things. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then it goes, then. And we'll stop there. Two things come out of this. The first thing is, my son. This was a father talking to his child. My son. But I want you to hear beyond just the simple thing of a father speaking to you. I want you to hear the heart of our Heavenly Father saying, my son, my child, my daughter, hear me. Hear me. We are his beloved children. He has placed each one of you who have come to know him into the kingdom of God. You don't earn your place in Christ's heart. You don't earn it. You cannot buy your way in. You cannot do what the best that you can. You don't earn it. It is freely given. If it is freely given, if he's our Father, how can we not want to listen to him? And that's the plea that comes through in Proverbs, my son. And then there's all these things that he goes on. There are conditions. That word that I've always said, if, one of the biggest, smallest words ever, if you receive my words, if you call out, if you seek, then treasure, make your ears attentive, incline your heart, call out, raise your voice, seek, search. Active verbs, things we have to do. You cannot just sit back and go, oh yeah, wonderful, wonderful. You have to seek. Seek and you shall find. Keep on seeking. You know, that's an active thing, literally in the Greek. God is calling you and me to take new steps of growth. It's a time to stretch. It is a time to seek him. It is a new mentality. It's a new seeing God in a new and powerful way. And that is what Solomon was telling his people, his listeners, his children. If you like, and I don't personally like the word, but it is about the psychology of change. It's about changing you. And that's why I love the song this morning. So thank you, because God is moving. He's changing. It is a call that is being sent to all of us, not to trust the means, but to trust the source of all things. And the source of all things is the Lord. Not the means. The means, the friends, your security, your super, your bank account, all those things are subject to loss, are subject to fading away. God isn't, because he's the source of all things. He is the source of all things. We have to seek, we have to find, we have to dig. The acquiring of God's wisdom is not passive. It means to listen diligently to those who are wiser than us. Taking the time to study, taking the time to apply your words. The students, those of you who are students will know what that means. Those of us who are still studying will still know what it means. Every one of us will know what it means, because we never stop learning. You have to apply. One of the analogies that Solomon applies here in this passage is that of a miner. You have to look for hidden treasure. I remember when I was a child, one of the things I used to like was treasure hunts. You know, that was half the fun of it, you know, you go and find the treasure. But the concept of a miner is hard work. It's sweat, it is dirty, and it's difficult. And in using the concept of a minor, what Solomon is actually doing, he's taking an echo from another wisdom book in the scriptures. That book is the book of Job. That book is the book of Job. And if you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Job 28? Turn with me to Job 28 for a little while. Because in this one, Job talks of comparing wisdom to different riches on earth. He talks of silver. He talks of gold. He talks of iron. He talks of pearls. He talks of topaz. Look at Job 28 in your own time. But Job talks of all this, and then he talks of where is wisdom? How can wisdom compare to all these things? And his comparison works out in the end, in verse 28. And to man, he, that is God, says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. If you want wisdom, if you want understanding, you have to study the Word of God, my friends. You have to study the Word of God. You have to become a workman approved, with nothing to be ashamed of, who knows how to use the word of truth to the best advantage every time. You know, you have to use the word of God. Arthur Schopenhauer, who was a German philosopher, said this: if a man wants to read good books, he must make a point of avoiding bad ones, for life is short and time and energy limited. Nowadays, my friends, you can say to me, I don't need to read books. I've got TikTok, I've got Instagram, I can go on the Google, I've got Dr. Google or Bing or whatever. You know, you have so many ways of communicating and finding out things. Some of you are probably trying to check me out right now. I hope not. But thank you, Gareth. But life is short, and you need to read good books. And the best book of all is this, right? The Bible. Another philosopher said the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. It wears out the body. That's Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12:12. Now, before you say to me, Randall, look, Solomon says, don't read too many books. Can I say this? What he says is excessive devotion to books or excessive study. It's okay studying, all right? Not excessively. All right? So study. For then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Do you see the relationship now in what Solomon is saying to what Job is saying? Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord is the one who will give you wisdom. For from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He, the Lord, stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. What a promise God gives. What a promise God gives. If you are upright, if you walk uprightly before him, you will have sound wisdom. If you walk in integrity, He will be a shield to you. If you choose the path for justice, He will guard those paths. And if you are one of His godly ones, He will preserve your way. He is God, and He is utterly, utterly faithful to His word. Now, Solomon, in his wisdom, knew that most of us up to this point of receiving his information and his advice would go, good one, Solly. Good one. Really appreciate what you just said. Really good. I'm not sure how practical it is. And I'm not sure whether it's applicable to my life. And most of us would go, oh, that's good, that's good. And we would forget about it. So Solomon knew. Because he then went on in Proverbs 2 to talk about what would happen if we chose not to follow wisdom, not to choose wisdom, but chose the other things. Three bad choices. Not quite the bad wolves, but three bad choices. Verses 9 to 11. Verses 12 to 15, and verses 16 to 18. Verses 9 to 11, he said, don't basically go chasing injustice, inequality, or indiscretion. Pursue wisdom. And he also said in those few verses there, do not attempt to take that which is not yours. Do not attempt to take that which is not yours. Don't possess that which is not yours. Don't covet. Verses 12 to 15, he said, don't be enticed by or delight in the practices of evil people who walk in darkness. Never imbibe, which means drink in, never imbibe the teaching of those whose words are perverse. And then verse 16 to 18, he said, don't be led astray by your sexual desire. Don't be fooled by thinking that your sin won't be discovered and that there are no long-term consequences. Now again, you may be thinking, all well and good, doesn't apply to me, not going to happen to me, because I'm a child of God. I look after myself. I don't pursue injustice, inequality. This is all nice, but isn't it a bit theoretical, Solomon? Let me put it to you that I believe that Solomon actually was talking from experience here. Because as I mentioned, he saw what his father David had done. He saw the consequences of the kingdom nearly being ripped apart. And he saw what his family was doing. And these are real life situations that he was talking about. Because these examples here of the three bad choices are found in three of his brothers. The three A's, if I can call it that. Amnon, Absalom, and Adonijah. Three A's, if you want to remember it. Who were they, you may ask? Who were they? The first one was Amnon. Amnon was the firstborn son of David. He was the firstborn son of David. And you can read about him being born in 2 Samuel 3, chapter 2. But Amnon is recorded as having won something that perhaps he should have never, ever done. He saw this really beautiful lady, young lady, and he couldn't get her out of his mind. Men, I don't know if you ever experienced that and suddenly thought to yourself, whoa, that girl, that woman is so beautiful. I can't stop thinking of her. You wake up, you go to bed during the day, you think of her. Amnon not only thought of this lady, he actually desired, I'll put it this way, he desired to sleep with her. There was one problem with this girl. She was his half-sister. She was his sister or half-sister. Her name was Tamar, and she was beautiful. The consequence of what happened of Amnon not letting go of his desire and pursuing it as far as he could was that he ended up raping his sister. If you don't believe me, it's found in 2 Samuel 13. I'm sorry if it offends some of you, but that is the consequence of taking your sexual desires too far. The consequence of his action was that he was killed by Tamar's brother. Tamar's brother was the second A, Absalom. Absalom was growing up to be a fine young man. He was handsome. He was, you know, everybody liked him. But he was not perfect. And he ends up killing his brother, his elder brother. And coming out of that execution, if I can put it that way, of that murder, Absalom had to flee from the court of David because David got very upset. Those of you who are fathers, your firstborn child, can you imagine if your other child kills your firstborn? That's not really nice. And what scripture tells us is that he flees to his homeland, part of his homeland, a place called Geshur. Geshur, or the Geshurites, were part of the original occupants of the land that Israel came into. They were one of those tribes that Joshua did not kill off. Absalom's mother was a princess from the king of Geshur. All right? He spends 3 years in his mother's people. The Geshurites didn't believe in God. And what we are told is that their words were perverse and they taught. And in a way, what happened to Absalom was that he then absorbed or imbibed the teachings of his mother's people. And so there were consequences too, to Absalom's life. And he was killed too. The third person was Adonijah. Adonijah was the fourth son of David. And his life too wasn't really good. Because he attempted to take that which was not his. He attempted to take that which was not his. For his father had grown old by that stage. His father had grown old and was dying. And the throne had been set aside and identified as Solomon. But Adonijah wasn't happy, and so he sought to take the throne for himself. That was one. But the second thing was that he attempted to take that was not for him, was he desired a lady called Abihag. Abihag was the concubine that had been provided to keep David warm in his old age. Now, we can debate that thing of concubines being provided for men in their old age, but we'll not go that way yet. Talk to your cell group leaders on this one. They will provide you with the wise wisdom in answering that one. All right, but he desired and he plotted to get Abihag too. Adonijah was killed and executed by Solomon. So Solomon knew, in giving all this advice, he knew the consequences of sin. He knew the consequences of not following wisdom, of choosing the temporary things of this world. He knew that. And I believe he drew from his experiences of his own family life as a warning to all of us today. His advice basically is this, and that's found in verse 20 of chapter 2, not to throw away our lives cheaply, but to walk in the way of good men and to keep to the paths of righteousness. He tells us to seek wisdom with all our hearts in order to gain success, protection, safety, guidance, and life. Verse 21. And wisdom is far more valuable than money. So what is better than money? Because if you seek wisdom, it will make us and enable us to inherit the land. The land. The wicked will be removed and we will inherit the land. But I put it to you that the land is more than just the land. For the Israelites and the nation, it is the land. For us nowadays, it is Christ. For in Christ, all the promises are fulfilled. So what is it that will make you happy? I was told that my last equation that I used didn't make sense. Remember, 1 plus 1 equals 1? So I tried, I thought, maybe this one will give you a bit more of an opening, because it gives you a question mark here for you to fill in as appropriate. So what is it that makes you happy? What is it? And the plea that comes in Proverbs 8, not in Proverbs 2, from Solomon, but also from our Lord, is choose instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. 4 carat or 100 carat or whatever carat it is, I can never understand about gold. Those of you who know gold can tell me. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire compares with her wisdom. When you ask Christ into your heart as wisdom personified, that's when you can sing, and nothing that you desire can compare with him. Nothing ever can compare with our Lord. Nothing. C.S. Lewis said this, as we draw this to an end, that God cannot bless us unless he has us. When we try to keep within ourselves an area that is our own, what will happen is you end up keeping an area of death. Because that thing, your possessions, they will all fade away. In the end, you can't take your super with you. And I remember when I was growing up in Kuala Lumpur, near our school, we walked down from the hill into Chinatown, and there used to be all these shops, and one of them was a shop for that you burn paper things to the gods, for the non-believers, that is, for the Chinese. And I used to think it was incredible because they had Mercedes and mansions, and you could pay paper money and aeroplanes and all kinds of things. You can't take those things with you. You can have your Learjet. I don't know if any of you have got a Learjet, but you know, you can't take your jet, personal jet, with you. You can't take your gold with you. It becomes death. But in love, God claims all things. And you cannot bargain with God. You cannot bargain with God. So may wisdom come into your heart this day, I pray. May you be positioned in that place of blessing and protection that is found under the shadow of His wing. May you not pursue just money and financial gain, but may you pursue wisdom. May you choose wisely. You see, ultimately, your business, your security is found in Christ. So the invitation, as always, is will you come to Christ today? Your invitation, as always, is to come to Christ today. Because He is the only one that will change your heart. He is the only one who will make a difference. He is the only one that will last eternally. Everything else is going to fade away. So what's better than money? Wisdom? Christ. So, that's where we end.
Change my heart, O Lord.
Please stand.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, O May I be like You.
Make this your prayer this morning.
Change my heart, oh.